Welcome to Chic Perspectives. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. Thanks for joining us today to learn more about how to succeed in style. In the studio with me today is Angela Stallcup, who is the market director for Ladies Who Launch in Atlanta and also the Curvy Empowerment Officer at The Curvy Life. I am so excited to have Angela with me today to talk about what we're seeing as far as women entrepreneurship. You are really on the front lines, Angela. So first of all, welcome to the Chic Perspective Show.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. I'm really excited. You know that I've been a big fan of yours for a long time. I love the work that you do, and I'm very excited to be here today to talk about women and business.
Yes, well, it's been exciting to see you really empower yourself and take on this new role over the last couple of years since we've known each other, as we're all sort of stepping more into our own abilities and potential and achieving more success. So I'm really excited to have this conversation with you. Now, you help your organization, Ladies Who Launch, helps women start businesses really from the initial idea stage, which I love because that's really one of the most difficult parts for so many people is getting it off the ground, really turning that idea into an actual business. Talk a little bit about what you guys do.
Right. And so it's true. We basically deal with people from the concept phase up to about year five of really getting started and getting established, and so much of getting unstuck. It just seems like we get these ideas, and especially when you're entrepreneurial, you're going to have 100 ideas, and you get stuck on how to move forward. And so what we really do is provide a support community, first of all, to help you move through that, and then some structured curriculum to help you get moving forward and moving to the next level, wherever that is, if that's just choosing an idea or taking your idea and taking it to the marketplace. So it really is exciting. And for me personally, the Curvy Life, which you referred to, came out of my experience with Ladies Who Launch, an idea that I had for 5 years that I carried around in my back pocket.
Right.
And I always say I did more in 5 weeks with Ladies Who Launch with that business than I did in 5 years by myself. So just getting me moving. And a lot of times once you get moving, it sort of takes care of itself.
Isn't that amazing? And surrounding yourself in that kind of a supportive community environment where other women are moving and you're like, yeah, I can do this too. It really puts like a jet engine on what you're capable of. Now, since you see women starting, I mean, you've seen women starting businesses. We've all seen this trend sort of really evolving over the last several years. It's become more and more mainstream for women to opt out of the corporate environment and start their own business. And I think we're even seeing it pick up in the current marketplace. What are you seeing in terms of women starting new businesses?
Yes, well, it's fascinating because the statistics show that it really is a movement because women are starting businesses now at twice the rate of men. And it's fascinating because you sort of take this sort of pre-economic breakdown post.
Right.
That pre-economic breakdown, women were starting businesses, they would say primarily for lifestyle and passion reasons, with money secondary. It's interesting that in the last year, in surveys that are done, women are putting money as a top reason. So I find that to be an interesting trend that now not only are women feeling that they need to follow their passion, but they need to make money doing it. And so I think that's exciting because as you see this sort of gloom and doom story that's been told about the economy, it seems like as women are being downsized from their corporate jobs or perhaps moms who've been stay-at-home moms want to start to add revenue to their family, they're looking to entrepreneurship as the way and they're feeling very empowered to start doing that. So they're going forth and taking advantage of the opportunities that can come out of the down market to bootstrap businesses.
Right. It is really exciting to see because I feel like it started as, you know, a lot of outliers. Mm-hmm. This was really a radical idea to start your own company as a female and then became, you know, a little more mainstream, but kind of hobby-ish. Mm-hmm. And then really blossoming into, wow, I can really make a good living at this. I can be the breadwinner of the family. I can really go to the next level of wealth in my, you know, financial tier. And now it's become even more of the go-to idea of we need more money in our household. What are we going to do? It's the first option that comes to mind isn't necessarily the default. Go get a job, find a job, go work for someone else's dream. But becoming more and more primary is that urge of, well, what do we have? What do I know? Mm-hmm. What am I good at? What's my talent or my gift or my ability or skill? And how can I make that into a business?
Absolutely. And it's really needed in the marketplace because so many of the businesses, you know, when you speak of trends, that women start come out of their own pain or out of their own experience. There's a problem that they've experienced in their lives that there has not been a solution to. And so they're looking to, how do I create the solution to my own personal problem? And so and it turns out that that problem is the problem of many. And so it's great. I mean, it's necessary. It's needed. And I look at it as they call the democratization of technology. The fact now that you can start a business in your basement and you right. can run a global business from your basement with a telephone and an internet connection and a UPS account is amazing. And so it opens the door for people to at least get started without having venture capital and so forth. So again, it's making it so that these ideas that are really needed can be brought to the marketplace.
And women are so creative. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time I meet a woman who's just started a company with this new idea, it blows me away mm-hmm. just how innovative I think the female mind naturally is. So the fact that it's now become easier for women to start a business with a minimal upfront mm-hmm. investment and really continue to grow that and be on the same level playing field, it is exciting. I feel like since, you know, this turn of the decade, mm-hmm. if you will, since we got into 2010, this trend has even picked yes. up in pace even more. And the rise of more women owning their own economic power
yes.
and taking on more of a leadership role, not only at work, but just in life mm-hmm. in general, and seeing it trickle into other areas like politics. What do you think the effect of, or first of all, you know, are you seeing the same thing or am I just deluding myself because this is my fantasy of what right. I want to see? And, you know, what do you think the implications of such things are on a large scale?
Right. No, I totally agree with you. This sort of stepping into to economic power, to political power, to owning their own power. I think this is what is happening. And it really is an amazing thing to see, even from the point of view of women who have succeeded in corporate careers and have done very well, but have had to play it sort of in the old way, that they had to play right. by the old rules. They had to assimilate. They had to do it like a man. That now they're looking, even within the corporate structure, now that we're at, I think, 56%.
Right, exactly. It's no longer a minority. It's yes. no longer so, even 50-50. It's like we should be the ones in charge.
Exactly. And basically it's like women are looking around and going, well, hey, wait a minute. There's more of us than them. Why are we still doing it the same way? And so there's this, again, you talk about women being creative. It's not just that we are creative. It's that we have to be creative. If we don't have creative outlets, if we don't have a way to be creative in our day-to-day work, it really is soul-killing. And so,
right, it really eats away at you. And so you need that.
And so I think that women are starting to bring this into every, you know, into every part of their lives. And so even the women who are still working traditional corporate jobs, we call it side launching or transition launching, is they've got an idea on the side that they're starting to work on. So that if by choice or by force, they end up out of that job, that they have something else to go into because they realize the time is now and I can change it from within or I can leave and change it from without, but that we are here to this point where we can bring a different approach and it is – we call it the feminine approach, but it really is a holistic approach and a right brain approach. I mean, Daniel Pink wrote A Whole New Mind.
Right, exactly. So it's not exclusive
yes.
to the female. It's really just more of a balancing, I think, of the mm-hmm. masculine and the feminine energies and bringing that back into balance and saying that perhaps some of the ills that we see mm-hmm. in business and society right now are because of that lack of balance and finding more of a correction and a balanced nature of that.
Well, it goes back to redefining the nature of what power is going to be and what power is going to look like. So we say women standing in power. These transitions that come with any movement, you know, you start out and the battle is just to get your foot in the door.
Right.
That's the
how
first
do we
wave.
Knock,
how
know,
do we
the first brick
right.
out of that wall?
How do we get in? Then the second wave is to prove that we can do it just as well, if not better than the status quo.
And that's sort of what our mother's
yes.
Generation mm-hmm. did, you know, as far as equality.
Right.
And finding that, hey, we can do it just as good. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, but actually I can look at it in a different way using that whole mind and that whole brain and even find a way to do it better.
Exactly. So now we're to that point where we're just going to rewrite the rules and it's going to make it better. It really will bring something new. Just went to a book launch this weekend and it was about the concept of bringing love into business and how would that work? And that truly, we talk all the time about, well, we want our employees to love this company. We want our clients or employees to love us. So we use love all the time. But do we talk about actually dealing with one another in love and that there can be a power in that? And I thought, wow, that is a very ancient philosophy.
Right.
But it is really shocking when you think about it in terms of saying, I'm going to bring love into the boardroom.
Absolutely. But it makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think 10, 15 years ago, you would have laughed right out of the boardroom.
Absolutely.
With that idea.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah. But now I think people are taking it more and more seriously. And like you said, I mean, it's been in the mission statement and mm-hmm. in the mantra for all this time.
Yes.
You know, what is customer loyalty? It's love.
Right.
I mean, that's really the essence of what it is. And I think that feminine energy mm-hmm. is more of that love aspect. So when you talk about power or when we talk mm-hmm. about, you know, what is power and what does it mean for a woman to be powerful? What does that look like? Do you think it's different than a man or different than what we've assumed in a traditional sense?
Well, I do think, again, I think there's some sort of traditional gender pieces to this and that there are exceptions to both sides. So there are women who perhaps have a very left brain or masculine approach. There are men who have a very right brain approach. So I'm not, you know, again, I hate to, but
I don't
overall,
like the stereotype
I will
either,
say,
but it's good
that groundwork, but to say that really in the past, when we think about power, we think about power. Power over. Whereas women, we're about shared power and collaboration and teamwork. And so many of the women that I talk to, in fact, who start businesses and they're solopreneurs or they're starting, they miss the collaboration of a team. Well, that's because as women, we like to have that input and we're able to share power without feeling that our power, our own power is diminished. And so again, that brings about so many opportunities for connection and synergy rather than top down sort of power.
Right.
So,
needing to remove power from other people in order to feel like you have more of your own. Instead, the more that you share the power and empower other people, you actually find you've increased your power. But it's a totally different way of looking at it.
Well, it's an absolutely true. And I have a friend who gave me Sun Tzu and the Art of War mm-hmm. and Business. And there's one that's the Art of War for Business of Women. And I'm like, okay, fascinating. I'm going to read this as interesting things. I'm like, but I don't really think about myself as going into the marketplace and going to war. And, you know, and I think about myself going into the marketplace to make the world a better place. And so I see that what I'm doing is a win-win. I look at my competitors. I want them to be successful because we all have something to bring to the market. And I think that I see that too in our, you know, among our community where you may have, you know, three women with the same sort of business, but they don't feel like they have to tear one another down. They come together even, and it's like, you know, co-opetition. Let's cooperate and see how we can really, you know, float all the boats and how can we all be successful by recognizing that I have my unique power or my unique gift, my unique offering, you have yours, then there's plenty for all. And so I think that, again, the abundance that women understand that we can actually create a life. We understand abundance.
Sure. So, as opposed to lack, as opposed to worrying about losing, you realize that by coming together, I like to say standing heel to heel.
I love it.
We all elevate each other together. And it is more of a greater good philosophy versus hey, there's a limited, you know, amount of land, there's a limited amount of resources, and so in order for me to gain, you must lose. I think more and more people are embracing a philosophy of unlimited abundance and realizing that by collaborating, working together, you can create that type of wealth for everyone.
Exactly. And it doesn't mean that you're not careful and cautious and there, you know, and use good business principles and just sound common sense. You don't just open your entire, you know, marketing plan to all your competitors and say, hey, come take a look. Oh, here's my entire contact list. Okay. We're not talking about that kind of sharing.
Right. Exactly.
That's different. But the kind of sharing that comes about from, again, not being threatened, but rather looking at opportunities to learn, to work together. and by taking that energy and then bringing it in back to your own business. And it allows you to really take advantage of and to benefit from a tremendous web of connections rather than bringing it in and making it so narrow. And we keep everything so secretive, and we lose out on the feedback even that can be very constructive.
Sure. When you try and build up walls around yourself, mm-hmm. Suddenly you've denied yourself the ability to learn from mm-hmm. all the other brilliant minds around you. And it's interesting because, I mean, we've talked a lot about community and mm-hmm. the value of bringing people together, bringing women together. One of the things I hear from so many women is that they have a hard time working together mm-hmm. with women. There's a lot of talk about how, you know, women in general don't like other women.
Right.
There's a competitiveness mm-hmm. or a fear or insecurity. It's very interesting because I'm seeing communities get together and you are able to overcome mm-hmm. it. But unless you really figure out how to overcome it, there can be some competitive battles mm-hmm. that get set up. And I think a lot of people would say even that that's part of what holds women back
yes.
in the workplace is other women. What are your thoughts on all of that?
And, you know, I think it's fascinating because traditionally that has been sort of the vibe. And I'm not going to deny that it existed.
Absolutely.
And that women were notorious. And I always used to call it sisterly solidarity. I'm like, where's solidarity?
Right.
You know, somebody reaches a certain point and they would not give a hand down.
Exactly.
Again, thinking in that scarcity sort of thinking, well, if there's only going to be one woman in this room, it's going to be me. I think part of the fact, I think some of this has shifted because now there are, again, just by numbers, by sheer numbers, there are more and more women. But I think as well that there has come, that really women have come to the realization that it's counterproductive to constantly be in competition with one another. But it is fascinating because it's not just job competition. It's what
right.
do you look like? Okay. Are you younger or older than me? Are you cuter than me? Do
right.
I like your hair better? Do you have a better, you know, do you have a bigger house? You know,
yeah,
what about your
how many minutes did you do on the treadmill?
Exactly.
Like, I've got to outrun this girl. The little things. It's of the feeling like you're always trying to one up.
Right. And to constantly be in comparison. And I think, again, that when we shift back into the thing that as women we're really good at is being nurturing.
Right.
And, you know, and that we have this opportunity to nurture one another and to step back from that and saying, okay, we can all win. We can all be the cutest in the room. That's okay. You know,
exactly.
We can all be the smartest. We can all be whatever. That's fine. And it's, again, it's this sort of holding, you know, two dissonant thoughts in your mind at the same time. It's okay for someone else's success doesn't diminish me. And somehow as women, we've been put in this sort of feeling that if you're successful, I'm diminished. Where I think men have traditionally, again, they talk about one up or one down. Men understand hierarchies, and if they can figure out their place in the hierarchy, they're striving really hard to get to the next level, but they don't really have that. They don't really take it personally.
Right.
But as women,
they can be comfortable in
right.
where they are
right.
and feel like a good man.
Exactly.
In their current level of status.
And their masculinity not be diminished. But somehow our femininity, we say that we're diminished somehow. And so I think this is, again, where we go back to this notion of standing fully in your power on all levels. And
right. And embracing your uniqueness
yes.
also. I mean, realizing that we are all unique, beautiful mm-hmm. creatures here with wonderful gifts mm-hmm. in the realm of business, in the realm of the home, in mm-hmm. all kinds of realms of this world, and that we're here to share them and that they are unique.
Yes.
And so no one can out me.
Yes.
So as long as I show up mm-hmm. as the best possible Elizabeth and you're here as the best possible Angela, mm-hmm. one can't outshine the other.
Well, let's flip that to say, where does that feeling of having to constantly compare come from? Is that as women, we've really been taught the not enoughness. We've been taught to always think that it's not enough. Now, some of that comes culturally. Some of that comes out of the sales messages that we get. You know,
right.
You're too wrinkly. You're too this. You're too
exactly.
that. You need to buy
if
my
we thought
product.
We were enough.
Right.
We wouldn't have to buy
exactly.
all that lipstick.
You're not thin enough. You're not young enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not rich enough. We're told we're not enough, and we've also been taught in the past that if we do think we're enough, if you give me a compliment, say, "Oh, Angela, you've lovely sweater. You said, you know, I like your shirt." I'm supposed to say this whole thing because somehow we're
right.
taught that that's modesty or that's humility, rather than saying, "You know what? I love this. I'm so proud of this, and I know I look good." It's like, there's nothing wrong with saying with that. Guys are like, it. I know I look good.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's own that power and own that we have that. We're taught that somehow if we do that, we're being vain or we're thinking
right.
too much
boastful
of ourselves.
Boastful or, yes, and it is silly. And some just outdated norms
absolutely.
That are just no longer appropriate right. or relevant.
And the key, I think, of that is where you say outdated. Because it's like, that's 50 years ago. That's 100
right.
years ago. That's, you know, that's Victorian era. Okay. That was back when you know, women were supposed to, you couldn't show the leg of a table because, oh, it would be shocking to a woman. Okay, we're long past
we're
that.
So far.
And so we don't
that.
Have to be, you know, this perpetually
right.
hands
one
folded.
Step behind
yes.
of the man of the household anymore.
But I
no.
think that we've all been doing that sort of work, personal development, mm-hmm. that is allowing women now as a whole to step into these other places of power because we don't feel like we feel like it's okay to think big and to dream big and to say, you know what, I'm good at this. To be able to say, I am excellent at what I do and I deserve to get paid for it. That is a challenge for so many women just to be able to say that.
It is. It really is. And it does take a lot of work, I think, mm-hmm. from a personal development. Some people, you know, get it naturally mm-hmm. and they just, you know, straight out of the womb, they are like, I am awesome and I am worth it. But a lot of people, that does take a lot of personal work. But seeing it come to fruition and seeing people really blossom mm-hmm. into their full selves is so exciting.
And I think that we have an obligation as women to support other women.
Exactly.
And to say, when I see a woman who is saying, I'm standing in their full power and in their greatness and is saying, well, yes, I'm great at this and yes, I deserve recognition, that we don't say to her or behind her back, who does she think she is?
Right.
We got to get rid of that energy.
Stop trying to cut off your sister's heels.
Exactly. I love it. Don't cut those heels off. She wants to be in 6-inch stilettos. Let her be.
Right. Let her really shine and let that seeing someone else shine give you permission mm-hmm. to do the same.
And to define what that looks like for you. And so
your own style.
Right. Not
exactly.
everybody wants to be in 6-inch stilettos. Some people like their flats and that's fine. Or not everyone wants to be Oprah. I mean, it's okay to want to to define success in the way that you want it, for it to be small.
Right.
Maybe it's a side business. Maybe it's something that you're going to be able to pay for your kids' education. And that's all you ever want it to be. You want to keep it as solo, enterprise. That's fine. So we don't say, we can't say that
right.
that's less than the person who goes off and becomes Martha Stewart. That's great too. Can we allow both to exist and define them as being successful? Because at the end of the day, are you happy? That should be our definition of success.
That's the true definition, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And not putting any other judgments on it than, is this your dream?
Right.
Did you really find and claim your own dream, and are you living it? And that is success.
Yes.
That's awesome. Now, you and I have talked a little bit about the idea of the new girl network
right.
versus the old boy network.
Right.
Because it really is starting to see this development of this new women's network mm-hmm. out there. What do you think it's all about?
Well, I love that expression, the new girl network versus the old girl network. We were at an event where the question was, is there an old girl network versus an old boy network? Well, we said the old way of women was not to help one another. So,
right.
So it's not really an old girl network. It's a new girl network. Not that it's just the new girls, but it's the new way of doing things. And it really is about coming together in a collaborative way, but in the ways that women come together. And so you think of the old boy network as backroom smoking cigars. Or
right, out on the
golf course. And so as women, and again, you look at these women, they all had to go learn to play golf. Well,
exactly.
You know,
we have to learn how to
exactly.
do it their way. Well, now it's like, let's do it our way.
And so we'll get together at the spa, or we will get together for lunch, or we'll go shopping, or we'll go on a retreat. You know, we'll go on a this sort of spiritual retreat, or we'll go on a glamorous retreat. We'll go on a vacation sort of thing.
Right, exactly. But like, I mean, I have meetings with people
yes.
where we'll walk around the park
yes.
because that's how we want to do
mm-hmm.
it. That's how we want to do business in a different way, as opposed to having to get, you know, all suited up and go into mm-hmm. the board conference room, doing business in your own style.
Absolutely. And it comes back to the core of it is that connections build relationships, relationships build businesses. So what do you do to build relationships? Again, rather than forcing ourselves to do, I mean, there are women who love golf. they should go off and play golf.
Exactly.
But if you don't love to do that, that should not limit you. And so the ways that we naturally build connections, that's a, like you say, is a perfectly legitimate way to have a business meeting. I've done them having my having a pedicure done. And it's, at first it's a little bit weird and you're like, oh my God, I'm in, this is so strange. I'm sitting here and we're side by side getting our pedicure
exactly.
done.
Exactly.
But it was great.
And then you're like, this is so great.
You're like, this is so awesome. This is so awesome. And it would be the same thing. I don't smoke cigars, but I would assume it would be the same, just enjoying something.
Exactly.
Doing business at the same time. So embracing that that's okay, that that's not somehow less than or weak, that that's some sort of weak of, or frivolous
right.
approach.
Exactly. I love it. I love it. Well, Angela, it has been so fun having you on today. Where can everybody check out more about Ladies Who Launch Atlanta and also the Curvy Life?
Yeah. So Ladies Who Launch, you can go to ladieswholaunch.com. That's the national website. If you're in Atlanta, you go to www.ladieswholaunch. That's not lunch, but launch.com/Atlanta. And so that's where you find out all about what's happening with activities and events and so forth. And then if you would like to check out The Curvy Life, which is about getting your curve on, and no matter what your size.
I love it.
It's www.curvylife.com.
Awesome. And I also always like to ask all my guests on Chic Perspectives about a chic tip, their favorite business tip that they'd like to share with their fellow women entrepreneurs out there. What chic tip would you like to share with our listeners today?
Well, I think it goes back to, again, this notion of power, is that wear it the way you want to wear it. And if that's in a stiletto or if that's in a Birkenstock, that what looks chic, what feels chic to you and the approach that you feel is the approach you should take.
That's great. I love it. Thanks so much, Angela. This is Elizabeth Gordon signing off from this episode of Chic Perspectives. To check out more Chic Perspectives, go to our website at www.chicentrepreneur.com. Next time, wishing you all chic success.